as usual, it's great to be here. I have an idea now. I can double up on the amount of times that I'm going to talk about the Steelers-Ravens game over the course of going on 2 weeks now, and maybe make a side venture out of it. What do you think?
We're together on this. I mean, what the heck? I mean, it's, can I get a cut?
10% finder's fee is only fair, right? That's the standard rate.
Sure. On the surface, it sounds like a scam. All right, but on the surface. Okay. I feel like the Steelers have the perfect coach to deal with all of this in terms of his attitude. I would say that whether they're winning or not. How do you feel about that?
I think Mike Tomlin said it pretty well during the whole Tennessee crisis, which turns out to be a blip on the radar compared to this. We do not care. I mean, really, that's the only way you can approach it. If you're on kind of the outside of this looking in, the Steelers have had their preparation altered. Their schedule has been messed up multiple times this year. Now the NFL found a way to not only remove their bye week, but give it back to them through the COVID exposure to two of their opponents this season. Incidentally, the second one was the inconvenienced one the first time around. So it's the right attitude to take, because I really don't think there's a way to make it any more simple than that. They've had some players affected as well. I don't think it's going to be as much an issue for the Steelers as it will be for the Ravens, but top to bottom, I don't think he could prepare them any more than the way he's doing. He gave them a couple days off, which I think was probably smart, kind of looking ahead, seeing how this is all going to play out, giving them some rest that they probably needed. So if the Steelers can find the silver lining in this, come out of it with a win and fairly healthy, fairly safe for a real quick turnaround in an odd circumstance for them to take on Washington, they'll definitely have to say that this is, you know, kind of the right way to approach everything. So kudos to Mike, the way that he's handled it to this point. Let's see what they do on the field, though, because this is just a weird game for both sides. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I mean, Vegas has given the Ravens 10.5 points. That seems weird to me, just because it's still not a bad football team. I don't think the players who are going to be absent are necessarily, high-end difference makers, but enough of it to think that it's going to be a very different football team. And we saw how the Steelers handled Dallas when they were kind of beaten up a bit before taking them on. So I don't know. It's a crazy game in a crazy year, but I think that Tomlin has, exactly the message that he needs to send. And if he spoke this week to reporters, I'm sure he would say pretty much the exact same thing.
How are the Steelers physically? I mean, I know James Conner was supposed to be iffy at one point. How are they right now?
Well, Conner will be out. He's not going to play. They have a stable of running backs behind Conner that they've used in every short yardage situation there is to little or no success. So the running backs themselves, I think, will be the obvious group to watch, simply because without Conner, you've got a lot of guys fighting to establish themselves as featured backs. I would imagine Benny Snell will be the guy to get that honor. If they're planning on giving a guy the ball 25 times, I think it would be Snell if we were to bet on that right now. But we'll probably get doses of all of them the way that we have all season. Otherwise, everything we've heard injury-wise, the guy should be fine enough to play at least on what was supposed to be a short week game, and it turns out to be a lot longer. So I think Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, was the most notable one heading into what should have been the Thanksgiving night game. I believe he was going to play anyway. So from where they are, the practice report is all over the board. So I don't know specifically today where anybody is. But my understanding is Juju should be fine. I don't think there's anybody else that's going to be of a surprise. And Conner will end up being the loss for this game, which I think, can hurt them a little bit, but I don't think it's a heavy loss for a team that really isn't running the ball well anyway. They got a lot of guys that cannot run the ball well and not really seem to make much of a difference for an offense that's scoring 30 points a game. So you have to be confident about where they are from an injury perspective, from a participation perspective. I think they'll be all right overall, but again, in such a weird week, who knows? You're probably going to have guys going down with strains, things like that, just because they haven't had the level of activity that they're used to. And in some cases on the Ravens, guys that might not have played football since last year, who knows? It'll be interesting to watch, especially early on. I think that's really going to be the most telling part of this game, is how these guys handle the early on activity, early in the game, the contact and everything to that nature.
All right. What do you know about the Ravens? What do the Ravens know about the Ravens?
Yeah, I think they know maybe a little bit more than I do about them. These games should worry coaches, really, because, and I'm not saying that the Steelers have absolutely no idea. I mean, they know every single player who was coming in and out of the league, and probably five teams worth of guys weren't playing. They have scouting reports on them, but what they don't have is how the Ravens are going to use them on Wednesday. That is to say that they probably can't figure out, you know, just based on how the Ravens coach, how they play, if there's a team to have this issue with and be okay, it's going to be the Ravens, the Bengals, right, or the Browns, a team that they play often. Right. And in this case, with the coach who's been there the longest. Right. So you have to think Tomlin and his staff have something of a sense of how they're going to approach offensive football in particular in this case, because that's where I believe more of the losses are for them. They know what Robert Griffin can do. They just saw him last year. They're going to have a sense of that. They've got their running backs back. They know the power scheme that they like to employ. They know the zone scheme that they're capable of doing. They can prepare to that extent. I don't think they'll have, you know, too much of a problem, but their offensive line has been banged up. You're not sure what you're getting with that group anyway. So that could be an issue that the Steelers could exploit. But if it's me and you're John Harbaugh and you're looking at how to prepare for a team that you know exactly what they're going to do, and you're weakened, you're on the road, I would think the element of surprise is something they want to factor in. Now, when I say that, I don't mean fake punts and things like that. I just mean use Robert Griffin in a way that you haven't seen him used with the Ravens. Try to steal a couple early possessions. You know, if you can get this really is exactly what Dallas did. And I don't think many would argue with me that John Harbaugh is a better coach than Mike McCarthy is. Dallas used the fact that nobody had heard of their quarterback really leading into that game, and he attacked them. He went straight at them. They didn't play kind of, you know, conservatively or in a defensive fashion the way that many people probably would have thought they would. He attacked them right away, punched them in the mouth, and all of a sudden they're up 10-0. Right. You know, the Steelers get stuffed on a fourth and short situation. Dallas had command of that game early on and almost outlasted them. I think that's kind of what Baltimore will want to do. Logically, you think they're going to keep it on the ground because that's sort of the way the Ravens play football. But sure, I wouldn't be surprised if they opened it up a bit in this game and tried to get after Pittsburgh through the air right away. Nothing deep, probably. They don't want to bring on the pass rush nightmare that is the Steelers. But I think a controlled passing attack to try to set up three running backs who have all had success running the ball against the Steelers in the past is probably going to be the best formula for them. I think they need to keep Pittsburgh's defense off balance a little bit and try to maintain possession as much as they can. Keep the game close. They're a great special teams group. They can win it with field position and field goals. They're capable of doing that.
Neil, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the NFL's determination, in your opinion, of not playing Week 18?
Oh, boy, that's an excellent question. I think I said this last week as well. I've been wrong in every turn of this. So I might not be the best person to ask, but it looks to me like it's got to be at least a 7 or an 8.
My opinion, it's 10. Their determination to not play Week 18 just appears to be in a 10. You don't jerry rig the schedule like this, where you got a Monday game, two Monday games next week, and a Tuesday game next week, unless you are determined not to play Week 18.
There's a part of me that honestly thinks they like the idea of trying to get market share on Wednesday. I think they might be trying to push for that a little bit. Either way,
very quickly, I made this point earlier. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that incredible train of thought, Jed, because you were rolling. All right, he's on a roll. Don't stop him. But people are like, well, the game starts at 12:40 in the West Coast. Everybody in the West Coast is home, right? Okay, like I was saying earlier. Okay, we're on a Zoom call. Your name can be there and not your face, Bob. Bob's drinking a Miller Lite watching the game while participating in the Zoom meeting.
Bob's making his cheese dip. He'll be right back.
He'll be right back.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's not as if the West Coast isn't used to this.
Yeah.
You know, they have games that start at 10 a.m. Yeah. Granted, it's on the weekend, but if people want to watch a football game, my experience is they find a way to do it. So
yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. And on top of that, it's not an ideal situation,
no.
Obviously. The NFL does not want headlines going out that the Rockettes just bumped them from a primetime slot.
But
right. It's the only way they could get the game in, then fine. I don't think NBC at this point is incredibly thrilled with the ratings possibility that they have. So whatever it is, it's going to be a little bit lower than Thanksgiving night. They already blew that. So
yeah.
they're looking to just get it on. But to be honest with you, I think it's going to get huge ratings because it's something different. It's unique. It's the middle of the week. You don't usually have football. It's a marquee matchup. I think a lot of people are going to watch this game. And I don't think that's ever really a problem when you have this type of game. I mean, we're not talking like, Jaguars, Bucks here, anything like
right.
that. You know,
exactly.
Get two of the more popular teams in the NFL with one of the most prominent rivalries, and they're good teams. I think people are going to want to watch that.
The Steelers are a national brand. The Steelers are a national brand. I mean, they're one of the few national teams in the NFL. And let's face it, Jacksonville. Yeah. I mean, even Tampa Bay, even with Brady, they're regional, right? The Steelers
yeah,
are
have,
not. The Steelers are a national brand. I'm telling you, last year the Christmas tree lighting drew 7.26 million viewers. I'll bet it draws 10 because of the lead-in.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's actually a really good point. That's about the best lead-in you could ever get for a show. Maybe that's why NBC is doing it.
Right.
You ask anybody who's backpacked around Europe, you know that they've seen and come across, even if they're not Steelers fans, they've come across people who are gigantic Steelers fans. You see the terrible foul everywhere you go. People are going to watch the game. Pittsburgh
Neil,
is never going to have an issue.
I know
that.
I've interrupted you a couple of times. I usually don't do that. I'm in Ireland. Okay, now remember, Dan Rooney was the ambassador to Ireland.
True.
But Penn State is over there, and he was at the game. All right. But the fans in Ireland, you know how many people came up to like Penn State and what big Steeler fans they are? So I'm huge Steeler fans in Ireland. So I'm in they're going through the last walkthrough, and it was at a soccer stadium at the College of Dublin. And there's some students sitting in the stands. Well, I had to go up through the stands. I had to get something. And I looked over and said, where are you guys from? They said, three of them were from Scotland and two of them were from Ireland. And they said, you guys like American football? Oh, we love the Steelers. Love the Steelers. The Steelers. I said, what do you think of – so I had to throw this out there. I said, what do you think of Jack Ham? Oh, this one guy from Scotland. Oh, Jock Ham. Oh, he loved it. I said, you want to meet him? Oh, I wish I could. Well, he's standing right there. I thought these guys were going to fall down. But that was in Ireland. The Steelers are loved in Ireland. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Yep, and that's the case pretty much every time there is a – you hear on the broadcast all the time, one of the more annoying things, how well the Steelers fans travel. It's not as if Pittsburgh empties out when they go to Dallas. It's that Steelers fans are already living in Dallas and they go to the games. They'll get tickets however they can. I mean, they own the state of Florida. I mean, anywhere you play in Florida, it may as well be, Pittsburgh South. That's just the way that it works. And you have the phenomenon in Pittsburgh of, an entire generation of people moved out of Pittsburgh in the 80s. And they raise kids other places to be Steelers fans. So it really is a Steeler nation. It's not as if they're all bandwagon fans or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there, but by and large, it's a cultural thing. And Steeler Nation is a lot bigger than the city of Pittsburgh. So you have situations like that. People are going to tune into this. I work from home anyway. I get paid to watch the game, so I would watch it. But I promise you, if I didn't, I'd be watching the game one way or another. I'll find a solution to that problem.
So you're saying that this game has an opportunity to draw higher ratings than the normal Wednesday Mid-American Conference game on ESPN2?
Probably. I mean, look at it like this: NBC is bumping two Judge Judy episodes, Days of Our Lives, and two newscasts for this. I mean, they're going out on a limb here locally. I understand. Those are big draw items. But at the same time, you've gotten stuck on the lead-in part. I'm really interested in what that's going to be now.
I know. I'm telling
they
you.
They get $10-11 million. They might try to do it again next year.
Oh, that's all we need. It's Green Bay against Chicago on Wednesday afternoon football, leading into the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting. Oh,
Rodgers, Mahomes, Wednesday afternoon.
Rodgers, Mahomes, the tree, all on NBC.
We just wrote the promo. We just wrote it for him. Where's our finder's fee? Get Ebersol on the phone.
Yeah. Neil, always a pleasure. Enjoy Wednesday afternoon football.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.